Lev Chevra, Binyamin Hamer here. I hope and welcome everyone back from Yontif. I hope everyone is well. This is conference call number 89 with Rebbe Shlita. Thank you, Rebbe.
You're very, very welcome. Let's begin with question number one. If one took off a crock pot with fully cooked chow on Friday night and by mistake put it back when it was still steaming hot and had das as well. However, there was no blech. But the evidence, can the food still be permitted based on those poskim that a crock pot is gora for kotum because the flame is covered? The answer is no. That's a very, very difficult shita. The whole point of a covering is that it should be a heker. If it's, the crock pot is made with a cover, it's almost absurd to consider it as gora for kotum. However, all is not lost. If you look in the Haggadot Ashri, in Perek Gimel in Masechet Shabbos Siman Beis, he discusses such a case. Maybe Shagag Vehechzir is Mutter. Not exactly clear what case he's talking about. The Chazon Ish says that it's true even if it's Mestamek V'yofalo. My personal view is he made me more Mekel even if it's Machal Ben Rusoi, but that may not be necessary for this particular chonk. Some cholons are fully cooked Friday night, some are not. If it wasn't fully cooked, it's a really big problem because it's a shalav bishul d'oraisa mamash according to the Rambam. So I understood the question to be that it was, it says beferish, I'm sorry, fully cooked cholon Friday night, my mistake. So mitzamek v'yofalo according to the Chazon Ish, which it may be, is still permissible. I think it's completely true. He has a shalav. But not to go into those details now. He writes there in Chazon Ish Siman Lamed Zayin, Sivkot and Chav Zayin, that it may be true even in a case of a mezid, if you put it back just in order that it shouldn't cool off, such as in our situation. Certainly, B'shogeg, if you look in the Ramah and Siman Reish and Gemel Sif Aleph, the Mishavua Sivkot and Lamed Hay, if you look in the Dirshu, footnote 41, you'll see there's much room to be made in this case, but not for the reason that was given because it's Gara Vekotzen, but for a totally different reason. Question two. A burner was left on under a blech that is very high, leading to the concern of danger if left on the entire Shabbos. A. What is the valid level of concern for danger? B. Can the flame be lowered? If yes, how? Shinu, young child, and a Yehudi. C. Is there a difference between lowering the flame and completely turning it off? D. What is the status of the food if the flame is lowered? All good questions. The best way is through the Eino Yehudi. If you do it through the Eino Yehudi, it's a shvus, the shvus, the makom mitzvah, and presumably would be permissible even in the absence of any danger. The food would be permissible, shvus, the shvus, the makom mitzvah, especially if there's no positive hanah. It's anything, it's a negative hanah that it didn't burn. And even if there's no sakana, it's permissible to tell a non-Jew. If there's a chashash sakana, and there is no other person, there's no non-Jew around, it's much better to do it b'shinui, which is the Rabbanan, as opposed to a katan, which is a shalav adoraisa, ato bincha, and it will be permissible not only to lower it, but even to turn it off if necessary. Question three. If one receives a package on Shabbos from UPS, which is not mukta, and it was in the tchum before Shabbos, may he tear open the cardboard box because it is mekakel l'tzorach Shabbos? B. What if the package was delivered on Yom Tov or Yom Tov Sheni? Must also have been within the Tchum? They were all excellent questions. As far as Mekakel L'Tzorach Shabbos, the Ran suggests that in the Sechta Shabbos of Kuf Mem Vov, that's how some read Rashi on that same daf. I think the better reading of Rashi is that the entire Isser is Makkah B'Patish. Rashi holds Ein Binyan Nistir B'Kalim ever. And there's no opposite of Makkah B'Patish. It's not one of those bonus toser, kosev mochek, tofer korea. There's no twin for it. That's what Rashi means. I don't know if it means mekalkel proper. That's what Chasam Sovel is. I believe the way I said Pshat and Rashi doesn't really mean mekalkel. But there's a better heter, and the heter is that the packaging is considered to be secondary to its content, because it's thrown out. This is the famous tshuva of Moshe Feinstein, Igros Moshe, Chelik Av Kufcha Beis, I believe, where he's matter canned Meikar Adin for the very same reason. And therefore, it seems that any other packaging which is thrown out when the contents are completed, like a tuna fish can, so here to the carbon box, I'm assuming will be thrown out, would be permissible on that basis. Yes, mekakel is permissible in some cases, but there's no blanket heter mekakel in Tzorach Shabbos. That's why the other heter, I think, is stronger. What about Yom Tov, Yom Tov Sheni? Must it also be within the Tchum? So Yom Tov, Yom Tov Sheni is no different from the perspective of the opening of the package. As far as the Tchum is concerned, so it's very interesting. As far as the Tchum is concerned, the halacha is, Mechutz the Tchum is also low for the person of whom it was brought, but it's not muksa, because it's royal acherim. Simen tov kuf tezvov sifhei in the mishtabrua sifkot mem ches. Now, the members of the household are probably the same as low and not acherim, so therefore they cannot use it, but it's not muksa because they give it to somebody else. According to most authorities, if it came on Yom Tov Rishon, it's mutar Yom Tov Sheni, because it's a sfega d'yoma, and it's a shtei kedushas. That's not exact. I'm not sure if that's part of the question, but if you look at that simon and that sif, you'll see. Four, please review the halachas of opening stuff on Shabbos. Can one open? That is A, B, C, D, E, F. Read them all together. A, a plastic soda cap that breaks a ring slash doesn't break a ring. B, metal soda pull cap. C, tuna fish can. D, the internal plastic pull-off circle of an orange juice cap. D, Shabbos, there are two D's over here. D sub 2, Shabbos dips that have a tear-off plastic strip. E, plastic wrapping around the magazine. F, external safety seal in an aspirin bottle. Wow, this could be an hour and a half sheer easily. I'll give you my opinion, which is not the same as others, that's for sure. A, in my opinion, is mutter. It's mutter in all cases, in my view. Break a ring, doesn't break a ring. And the reason why it's mutter, in my view, is it was a kli and remains a kli. It was a kli even before you twisted off the twist-off cap, and it remains a kli. Now, the Shmir Shabbos Kochasa in Perek Tes Sif Yitches says there may be a problem of making a kli. He apparently considers it, if it's metal, not to have been a kli, but if it's plastic, according to Shlomo Zalman, he agrees that it's mutter. So in the particular case that we're being asked about a plastic soda cap, not only do I think it's mutter, I think it's mutter even for metal, and so is Rebbe Vadya Yechav Adas, but even Rebbe Shlomo Zalman and the Shmir Shabbos would concede that a plastic is okay. Now, why is a plastic cap before it's turned a kli and metal is not a kli? It's hard for me to understand why it should be a difference. If you look there in the Shmir Shabbos Kulchasa, you'll see some differences, which to my mind are not that significant. B, here in my opinion, I think it's prohibited. It's prohibited to make a metal soda pull tab for the following reason. You're making a Pesach Yofa. No question that the Coca-Cola company invested a lot of money to make a proper type of opening to be able to drink from. It has to be a certain shape. It shouldn't harm you. It shouldn't have too much come out, too little come out. You know, people take their Coke can and they just lift it up and drink from it. That's a very specialized opening. That's called the Pesach Yofe. According to some, there's even a shot of the Oraisa. There is an Eitza. And the Orla Tzion, Chacham Ben Tzion Abba Shaul, he suggests you want your Coca-Cola, you need, and it's in one of those cans, open the can a little bit. Don't open it all the way. You'll say, if you open a little bit, it comes out, goobba, 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 doesn't come out right. That's exactly the point. You didn't make a Pesach Yofe, and that would be the Eitzah if you really want a Coca-Cola, and he forgot to open it before. You can't open it before Shabbat, so it'll lose all its fizz. So that's why, in my view, if you want to have Coca-Cola, you should have the we said before, not the cans, but the bottles, with the plastic ring on top, or even a metal ring, that's preferred. The metal soda pull tab, in my opinion, is prohibited. Here, Rabbi Shlomo Zalman may actually go against me in the other direction. Well, I thought it was mutter, he by metal thought it was usher. and where I thought it was usher, he may have said it was mutter for a whole variety of reasons, but I'm just giving you my opinion. C is a tuna fish can. We mentioned earlier, from Moshe the Tshuva, I believe it's Aleph Kuf Kaf Beis, mutter mikir adin, because it's bottle to the tuna fish, because it's thrown out right away thereafter, and the Chazon Ish Asherit lived in a different time, when they used to save the cans to put in nails, as he writes there. We don't do that anymore. And therefore, mikra then it's mutter, but of course, in this case, it's preferable to do it before Shabbos. But it's a significant action to take off the top of a tuna can. So much it's preferable to do before Shabbos. But if you didn't, he holds it's mutter mikra adin. Of course, there are those who say it's preferable to open those soda bottles before Shabbos too. Some, in fact, do that. In my opinion, it's not necessary. D number one, the internal plastic pull-off circle on an orange juice cap, in my opinion, that's, again, a serious problem. Same as B. You're making a Pesach Yofeh, specialized kind of a situation. Maybe. I'm not sure, because here it's simply a circle. B was a very specialized shape. Here it's simply a circle. But the way it's done, it's a hard plastic, and it's you have to pull it with great strength. With that little loop, to me it's a shaila at least, the Pesach Yofes, I think it should be done before Shabbos. If you forgot to do it before Shabbos, you need your orange juice, just make a knife, make a hole in the carton, and the juice will come out, gooba, gooba, gooba from the side, and you collect it in a pot, and you'll use it up slowly. D2, and E, and F, are all the same thing. It seems to be mutter, because whatever it is considered to be bottled to the contents. That's E and F. Plastic wrapping on a magazine, external stainless steel aspirin bottle. These are considered wrappers for secondary. The tear-off plastic strip, I'm not sure exactly how that exactly works, but in my opinion, it should be permissible, because that's considered also being bundled to the contents. It's part of the packaging. 5, refunds. What are parents who paid partial or full deposits of summer camps entitled to? Regarding seminaries in Israel and local that ended in March and will not reopen but paid for the full year, are they entitled to a refund? Parents who put deposits on simcha halls for various smachot and now are doing them in their own backyard, are they entitled? In all these cases, if payment was met by credit card, can they either cancel or dispute them? These are very, very good questions. In my view, it's not the right time to answer these questions. We're now dealing with a tremendous crisis. Each and every day we hear of further losses, staggering losses in Klal Yisrael. I'm speaking here from New York, the epicenter of the coronavirus. The numbers are just too difficult to comprehend. The number of particularly Kedoshim, Tzadikim, Tzidkonios, that have passed away in the last 6 weeks from this terrible COVID-19, it's just too much to even begin to wrap your head around. It's just too much. We should focus now on saving lives. Saving lives requires constant vigilance. It requires the heroic efforts of so many people in hospitals and elsewhere. This is what we should be focusing on, not dollars and cents. Teini anefesh. And therefore, it seems to me, for the present time, we have a general rule in halacha, that the money stays where it is. Refunds will likely be appropriate. I can't give any psak, because every case is different. And I believe that whatever appropriate refunds are coming to the person who deserves the refund should, in fact, be returned at the proper time. Hopefully, by the parties themselves, when they reach an understanding, a pshara, a lefnim yishuras hadin. If not, it has to come to Beis Din, and Beis Din will decide what should be done. Beis Din will also take into account pshara and lefnim yishuras hadin, as it usually does. And typically, in these kinds of cases of Makas Medina, the Chasam Sofer, and others, say you have to take into account pshara and lefnim yishuras hadin. It's a requirement. Such difficult times. We should not be omed al din Torah, as Chazal say in Mubav and Matir Daflama was the cause of the Churban. Everyone insisted on what he or she thought they were entitled to, which they, in most cases, they really weren't. Kal vachomer in cases like this, we have to do that as our attitude when the time comes. Presently, I believe that im she'uki mamona b'cheskas norei, whoever has the money for the moment, they're entitled to keep the money. If they want to go to Fnim Rishuras HaDin and do it now, give it back now, it's wonderful. I was told of a particular individual who has a long career of Pesach programs, and he gave all the money back right away. Give it back. There are a lot of things which he could have asked for, expenses he incurred, and he may not be reimbursed for. He gave it all back. Now, that's a private citizen who has presumably enough money in the bank to do that. Seminaries are usually not that kind of a financial situation. It's not so easy for them to refund all the money. Simple halls are usually also not in such a situation. And summer camps as well, they're usually not able to, not usually. There could be exceptions. They just give all the money back right now. They may not be able to. However, when we discuss Lifnim Yishuras HaDin, we sometimes take into account the relative financial status of the parties. Obviously, in a regular Din Torah, you can't do that. Right? Lo Sedar Dal, you can't help, just you can't be Robin Hood, take from the rich and give to the poor. Not allowed to do that. Of course, you certainly cannot favor the usher. Sukkim b'furashim and chumash. But when it comes to Psharas Lifnim Yishuras HaDin, sometimes we'll take into account someone who has less money to help them out. And that is true even with respect to seminaries, yeshivas, things of this nature. I believe they should take into account if they know of a particular parent that is struggling, somebody that doesn't have money to put on the table, that even though the yeshiva is also an ani, this person is a greater ani, they should try to refund the money immediately if they're able to, and not wait till after this crisis passes. But in general, we'll have to wait till it passes to hopefully come to show us most people on their own. If not, Bezin will have to be called in and basically impose a pshara. Hopefully, that will not happen too frequently. 6. Salaries. A playgroup teacher is hard for the school year, but the parent or employer continue to pay her even though the program is shut down. So the answer is no, strictly speaking, shut down. But they should make a pshara. The question is only who is the mukzuk. That question I did not fully answer in the previous one, about credit cards, checks, head checks, etc., etc. It seems to me that whenever there's a legal recourse for the person who wrote the check or had his credit card debited to be able to cancel it, and in America, it's not a crime to cancel the check, especially a head check, I do not believe that it's a crime to stop payment in certain credit card situations. As long as it's not a criminal act, the individual has the right to do so and make himself into the mukzuk when the ultimate Din Torah will take place. Is it a good thing to do? Is it a good thing to cancel the head check? Is it a good thing to deposit a head check? That requires a case-by-case analysis. I'm just giving you some of the broader guidelines. Question number 7. If you are zooming into a virtual non-minion, is it all right to wear headphones as you listen to the Mitzvahim? Yes, sir. Should they be taken off while I say Shemone Esrei? Yes, sir. Obviously, Shemone Esrei is supposed to be totally private, but if a person wants to hear other people saying Pesukah D'Zimra, it's wonderful. Gives it a feeling of being with the minion. 8. Regarding pre-Shabbos Zooming Kabbalah Shabbos, what should not be said? Should one stand and turn for Boi B'Shalom? That's an excellent question. I've been doing this from the very first week, the Kabbalah Shabbos Zoom. Actually, we closed on a Friday. That Friday was at Behola. But starting for the following Friday, we've been doing these Zooms. And I found out I was a little bit hesitant to do musical Kabbalah Shabbos. You take a guitar and play Kabbalah Shabbos. I was a little hesitant, even though Kabbalah Shabbos is only Pirkei Tehillim, and it's not found really in the Shulchan Aruch. It's a commodity. It's a later invention, perhaps some of the Arizal at that point. So it doesn't have the same chashivas, if you will, as Trila proper from Anshe Knesset HaGadol. I was still hesitant. I called Rabbi Shechter Shlita. He told me the following. He was in Prague one summer with Professor Schneer Lyman, and they found out, to his shock, that they, in the shul, that they said Mizmah Shili Yomah Shabbos twice on Friday night. And he inquired, and Professor Lyman told him as follows, and he sent me an article to demonstrate it, to prove it. They had an interesting custom. They had a musical Kabbalah Shabbos in Prague every week, nothing to do with coronavirus. There was no Zoom. A live concert, the Kabbalah Shabbos, a beautiful concept. It's going back to the 17th century. It's a long time ago. But then, after they finished the music, and they even sang Mizmah Shili Yomah Shabbos, they had Kavana not to be Mekabel Shabbos. They went back home, and they maybe took a bath, and maybe they lit candles, and maybe they put up the cholin, whatever they did. And the men came back to shul to actually be Mekabel Shabbos. Song with Mizmah Shili Yomah Shabbos. They said it a second time. So even though now that minhag has been come up for hundreds of years, the vestige is they say Mizmah Shili Yomah Shabbos two times. Nonetheless, I decided I don't want to do that. We're not used to that thing now. We stop at Boi B'Shalom. We do not say Mizmah Shili Yomah Shabbos in our pre-Shabbos Zoom of Kabbalah Shabbos. And even Boi B'Shalom, I announce it every single week. I'm not standing up. I'm not turning around. I even change the tune. Because the way we normally have it, you say one tune and then Lo Sevoshi, another tune, goes straight to the Boi B'Shalom. I change the tune, make a different tune for Boi B'Shalom to indicate this is not a Kabbalah Shabbos. We're not standing up. We're not turning around. I believe that's the proper way to do it. Question 9. Birchas HaGomel. If you have recovered from the virus, should you be making this bracha now? If yes, should it be said with a virtual minion answering Amen. Very, very good questions. Number one, here again, we should wait. We should not be in a rush to bench Goymel. If you look at some of the ratio tests, which the brewers have cut in base, you have to be completely, completely healthy. Look there in the Dirshu footnote 2, you'll see completely, completely healthy. And if a person was Zaycha, Baruch Hashem, to recover from this terrible disease and be completely, completely healthy, now he's eligible to bench Goymel. From this point and on, I believe you should wait to get a minyan. If there's no minyan, it's a chashash of bracha levatala. Look there in the Bir Alokha Siv Gimel, the Ramas Leviyesh. It's a chashash of bracha levatala. It's true that Mishnah Berurah Siv Kotan Ches said you should wait up until 30 days, and then you should make it without a minyan. I don't know. That psak is a chiddush to me. I would wait even beyond the 30 days before making such a bracha. We are careful about bracha levatala. There is a shayla whether Zoom works for this. Perhaps, it's hard for me to say no definitively, but I'm not 100% sure that a Zoom works, even if it's an issue of pursuing Nisa and not a Davish of a Kedusha, which I believe it is. Not completely clear that a Zoom would work. But if a person wants to, when it gets to the 30-day point, he wants to rely on the Mishnah Berurah in combination with a Zoom, I believe that it would be okay. 10. Please discuss stepchildren as Avelin. Is age, stage, is this pre-married or pre-bar bat mitzvah a factor? Would it make a difference if it was a stepfather or a stepmother? If parents divorced when the child was very young, when mother, father remarried, would that be a factor? The answer is, strictly speaking, there's absolutely no obligation on a stepchild to observe the Shiva for a stepfather or stepmother. Absolutely none. If a person wants to, they may do so. They may do so as long as they're not mevatel a mitzvah sasei, such as in aninus, when people stop doing mitzvahs and breaking brachas. You can't do that if you're a stepchild. Nor may you be mevatel from Talmud Torah if you're a stepchild during this week of Shiva. You're not allowed to. There's no halachic difference between a stepfather and a stepmother, or between how old the person was when the stepfather or mother came into that person's life. No difference, technically, if it came to the passing of a parent or a divorce. All these things make no strict difference. However, we are cognizant of the fact it may make an emotional difference. Of course, a person as a stepfather or mother from the earliest childhood, a person, for example, the father passed away before the child was born, or at a very young age, he doesn't remember his natural father. He always grew up with a stepfather. That's a very, very, very strong relationship, and I can understand emotionally why the person wants to observe the Shiva, as opposed to somebody who has a stepfather or a stepmother when he became 20 years old or even older. It's not the same strong relationship. And of course, death and divorce can play a role here too. These are all in terms of emotions. And a person, again, can choose what he or she wants because there's no formal obligation. 11. I've attempted to daven v'sikin through this matter. It's been hard to pace myself consistently to say Shema Shmoneh Esrei without a tzibur to be yotzi gul l'tfilah. What should I do if I'm a few minutes early after saying Shema? Do I wait? Can I say Shmoneh Esrei a few minutes early? I confess I've also attempted to daven v'sikin through this matzav. It's a it's a trap. When the matzav began, the day we closed the shul, the sun rose at 10 after 7. That's no big deal. Today, tomorrow it's about 5 to 6. We've gone approximately an hour and a quarter through, and there's another half an hour to go still, if the matzav continues. You have to get up really early. Baruch Hashem, I've been doing it fairly consistently. How do you pace yourself? You have to look at your clock one day and see how long it takes me to get from the beginning of davening to Shmoneh Esrei. Just take a look at your watch. There's nothing wrong. Look at your watch and see how long it takes. How long it takes, the time you begin the davening, to get the Shmoneh Esrei on the average. Tefillah so keva. It can go a little bit longer one day, a little bit shorter another day. You daven more slowly with more kavana, less kavana. You get your average time, and you start at that moment. And the end, either hurry up or slow down. That's the proper way to approach v'sikin. It seems to me that precision is not required. What I mean by that is, you go to Eretz Yisrael, they have v'sikin minyanim, they have it to the second. The sunrise is such and such minutes and such seconds. Lou, I'm not sure if that's accurate either. And I'm not sure if your watch is exactly so accurate. The chart may not be so accurate. A lot of things can be somewhat inaccurate. But it seems to me that's not a problem of v'sikin, because the Yev Shalit Sam saying, to me it's clear that Takonas v'sikin is to say the Shmoneh Esrei when the sun is rising. It takes 2 minutes plus for the sun to complete its rise from the time the first speck of sunlight is visible to the last speck comes up. In my view, if you start the Shmoneh Esrei anywhere in that 2 minute range, you have davened kivasikin. That's what I always try to do, if possible. So if you're a little bit late, a minute late, not a problem. A few minutes late, no. It's more than two, so you probably it's not considered vesikin anymore. Okay, not terrible. A few minutes early, that's already a little different story, because it's a question, what's the purpose of vesikin? What's the purpose of vesikin? Some say the main purpose of vesikin is for Kriya Shema. Because Kriya Shema is supposed to be said before the sun rises. That's the opinion of Rabbi Elazar, even by the Evid. And according to the Rambam and Rabbi Yonah, it's true for us, l'chatchila. That's one opinion. So the key is Shema before sunrise. And since you wanted the Tefillah to go to Tefillah, and Tefillah l'chatchila is not before sunrise, so Mamela, you have a seeking. But the main point there is the Shema. However, we pass in Lalacha, according to Rashba and the Mechaber, that Shema, it makes no difference if you say it before Shmoneh Esrei or say after Shmoneh Esrei. It seems to me that's also possible. The same is true for Shmoneh Esrei itself, according to the Pre-Kodesh. It makes no difference before Shmoneh Esrei or after Shmoneh Esrei. So what's Vesikin? Vesikin is simply Yeruchim Shemesh to start the Shmoneh Esrei at sunrise. Memela, if you want the smicha gula l'tfilah, you have to get the Shema just before that. The Ramban says in the old days, they used to say Shema way before sunrise, and then wait. They'd wait, and they would move out the smicha gula l'tfilah. It wasn't so significant in their list of values. We have a different sheet there that's the most significant. So therefore, it seems to me that if a person says Shema and is a few minutes before sunrise, if he, in fact, will daven early, he will not be daven kivasikim. All right, so what? You're not mechiv daven v'sikin. You daven demayim v'yu lechatchil like the pre-chodesh at that point as well. You want to wait? You can also wait. But it's not an obligation to wait. The whole v'sikin is not an obligation. It's only a mitzvah min hamuvcha. Question 12. Recent heirs are asking the klal for tzedakah to help support families devastated by the coronavirus, adding a tremendous burden to the cloud. Should I insist that couples purchase life insurance? Should purchasing life insurance be a chiyuv on a couple, just an etzah tova? Are there sources that discuss this? There are two sources I will quote to you. The two gedolim of the last generation, Rav Moshe Feinstein and Igris Moshe, Ora Chaim Chelik Beis, Simon Kuf Yud Aleph. It's not a chesaron in bitachon. It's not a chesaron in bitachon. He said this at least two times. Like any other business, a person is obligated to earn a livelihood. He's obligated. It's also this machalanes. Not for his panasa, not for his children, not for his old age, not for his Yerusha. But Moshe says, Hu dover tov. It's a good thing to do. Bitachon. When you get an insurance policy, you have to be told you'll be able to pay the premiums. But that's it. He thinks it's a dover tov, it's a good thing. This is echoed in Yechaveh Das, Ravad Yosef, Chel Gimel Simen Pehei. It's not a chesaron in bitachon. It's not what he called a poseach pel esotin, life insurance. When a person dies, his wife, his kids, who's talking about death? No. A person has to be prepared. B'chol yom, you begodech olavonim. The Rivosh writes in Simen Kuf Yudalit that a person buys himself a kever. You buy a kever, is considered to be a school of arichas yomim. Some authorities say when your person turns 50 years old, b'shnas hayovel azot shuvish lachazosel, should buy a kever then. In some places, they say when you get married, you should buy two kvarim on the spot. A little bit, the downer when a person's just getting, but I didn't do that. But when I reached 50 years old, my wife and I bought two kvarim. That's what we did. Kever avos. That's what we did. That's appropriate. It's a school of arichas yomim. And tzaddikim, he says, Rabbi Avadia, quoted from earlier sources, they bought life insurance for themselves. And therefore, to answer the question, yes, it's advisable to buy life insurance. That's what you should advise. It's an etzah tova for sure. Can you make it a chiyuv? That's already difficult. A chiyuv? It's hard to say. A person should make a chiyuv. You should earn a certain amount of money in his lifetime. You need to earn money to support yourself. But to go beyond that, it's hard to say it's a chiyuv. And it's true that maybe it should be a chiyuv if it's to prevent these terrible burdens being thrust on a cloud. We'd rather thrust it on the prudential life insurance company than on cloud you throw. That's true. And that's why a person should be given advice to buy life insurance. And in some yeshivas, they try to make it mandatory. The people who don't buy insurance are not cavalier. They're broke. They just don't have enough money to put down for the premiums. So we should try, if necessary, to give more money to the people for their premiums. For term insurance, which is, the disaster insurance, that would be, it would be great. We should advise it for everybody to make it absolutely mandatory. That would require some kind of a takon, I believe, and I'm not able to do that. 13. I could not toivel some kelim before Pesach. In the rush to pack up my Pesach, big pots and pans, they got mixed up with toivel kelim. What am I to do? B. Can we toivel in a natural lake whose outlet or inlet feeds into a man-made dam or reservoir? Due to the man-made dam, the natural geographic area of the lake is much larger than its original footprint, as told to me by some old-timers. If Shela B is mutter, must they only toivel in its natural footprint? Okay, let's talk about A first. Sefer Tefilas Kelim, page Kuf Yud Zayin, says you have to be matel all of them. All of them. Either because of Dava Shesh Vamatiri, or because there's no bittel by a mitzvah sasei. Bittel by lo sasei, by isurim, things are bottled. Not by mitzvah sasei. On page Kuf Yud Ches, he writes, you can be makel with the tircha merubah. Presumably he means in the perspective of Yesh Lamatir, and the post can discuss it in Shulchan Aruch and Yaradeya, in Simon Tzadi Tes, and Simon Kuv Beis, about this Yesh Lamatir, and they say it's a tircha gedola, it's like an expense, and therefore there's no din of Yesh Lamatir. Therefore he is permissible. What about the other svara? Presumably he doesn't like it. And he quotes the Sharm HaMetzuyim Ba'alocha, Simon Lamazayin Oz Tes, it seems to say, I don't have it in my house, that even with respect to Mitzvah Sasei, we could apply the principle of Bittul Barov. The Onig Yontif, I believe it's in Simon Gimel, does not agree. I believe he says if you have tzitzis, and the chute tzitzis, some are kosher, some are not kosher, you cannot say Bittul Barov. Bittul Barov can make a something into a nothing, cannot make a nothing into a something, But apparently, I don't have the source, there's some leniency there too. You can look it up in that safer. It seems to me you'd be advised to be matzbo them all, especially if it's pots and pans, which are metal, which are presumably a d'oraisa. Again, b'shas hatzchak, he quotes an opinion which says, if it's tircha meruba, you can be lenient. Not exactly sure what the basis is. B, you need one of two things. You need a kosher, a mikvah has to be either what we call ashborin, it's in a gathered area with no zechila, zochlin is no good, or it should be mei ma'ayon, where the majority of the water is coming from springs and not coming from rainwater. A typical natural lake has both leniencies. There is, of course, some little runoff in some far edge of the lake. It has to be that way, but it's not noticeable from the main part of the lake, and therefore, according to most authorities, it's not considered zochlin, particularly if you will take the kli and push it down a little bit so that you're, let's say, 6 inches beneath the top of the water. Generally speaking, the runoff from the far edge of the lake is less than 6 inches from the top. That's just the way it is. It just takes the tippity top of the lake off. So if you're under that, according to many authorities, there's never a problem of zochlin, no matter how fast it's going. So the combination of the fact that it's not discernible and you're underneath the point where it's spilling over is considered to be a very good combination of leniencies. Plus, in most natural lakes, most of the time, the majority is coming from underground springs as opposed to rain. The proof is, you come to the summer camps, and you see the level of the lake when you come in, a little bit lower, a little bit higher, but not all that much, whereas we know that the rain can be drastically different from one year to the next. So apparently, the majority is coming from spring water, as the experts that I consulted with in Lake Como, Pennsylvania, told me, and in other places as well. Contrast all this with man-made lakes. Oh, that's a whole different story. That's not at all a guarantee that it's kosher. It's probably not kosher. And therefore, in the particular specific situation that is being described over here of a lake as large as the original footprint, and it's natural lake with outlet into man-made dam or reservoir. I'm not sure what the majority of the water is in that situation. Is it rainwater or brook water, spring water? And I don't know if the other consideration of zochlin or ashborin applies. I cannot answer the question. I'm missing a few details. I gave you the information upon which the answer should be based. Question 14. Before Pesach, there were issues of tefillah tkanim for those who needed it. There are couples getting married soon who have all new kelim. What can they do at this point to be able to use these kelim? Similarly, some have a new grill whose grates have not been tabled. Yes, it was a major problem before Pesach. And Rav Shech, the Shalita, said that in no alternative, there were those who said you can rely on what's being mafkir the kli. You make it hefker. If you want to do it right, you put it outside your property line, or at least outside your front door, and then leave it there overnight. You'll be mafkir in front of three people, that any one of them can come and get it, and two could be Eidim. A whole story. Shlomo Zalman says, b'shas hatzchak, it's okay based on the concept of beer by Shemitah. You leave it out overnight, you take it back the next day, etc., etc. It's a very shvach heter, it seems to me, because the Shulchan Aruch doesn't mention it. Shulchan Aruch says, if you have such an issue, you give it to a guy. You give it to a guy by matana, you makna to it, you sell it to a guy. I called Rav Shech, the Shlita, and said, that's too complicated. It's coronavirus, no one wants to see each other. How are you going to get it done? So there's no choice but to rely on the inferior heter known as hefka. However, some of the wonderful Rabbanim from Bergen County got involved, they called me up, come on, we get to work it out. And through quite a number of Bergen County Rabbanim chipped in into the effort. I was also assisted by Rabbi Flug, who did a tremendous job all the way from Boca in the Mechiras Chametz proper. We worked out a system together with our Besdin, Rabbi Weissman Shtiter Amenayel, that a person can go on some email link, I don't know it by heart, you can probably find it out, either by calling Rabbi Flug or Rabbi Weissman, or looking on one of their, the Besdin maybe has it on its website. You're able to sell Kalim to a non-Jew. You'll ask a question, how's that possible? How's it possible? I don't see him. He's in one place, I'm another place. There's a new thing called, not so new for you, PayPal. PayPal. So what Rabbi Weissman was doing, people would email him in. Every few days, he had 100 customers. He would call up the attorney, who was not Jewish. He was a law partner of one of the Jewish members of one of the shuls in Bergen County. And he'd say, oh, you know, we have 100 people who want to sell you their kalim, and I need 2 cents per person. He deposits $2 on the wife's PayPal account. So the money has been paid, and you can be koneh with a shavah pruta. This is what we were relying on. We think it's a better heter than hefker. I think it's still available for those who want to utilize it. Finally, 15. Is there any benefit to saying vayechulu with one's wife as a second person as Friday night davening at home, similar to what one would commonly do in shul when he finishes Shmoneh Esrei after the tzibur, i.e., what type of eders is this? Are dafka two men needed? The Mishnah Brura in Siman Reish Namecheset Kod Yutes quotes those that say it's considered to be eders, because the Shulchan Aruch they said it has to be kol ram and meumad, and he says al kol panim yiyu b'shnayim, at least two. If you look in the Dirshu 26, the Chazon Ish said you don't need this. Namecheset, the whole thing is not necessary. You don't need it. You don't need it. Therefore, even if a person's in shul and daven's longer than the rav, he doesn't need it there either. If you look there in the same place in the footnote, there's a machloikas with respect to women. It seems to me it's a sex fake. The whole thing is probably not necessary. Women may not be part of it because of the eidus consideration. And therefore, since I am, Baruch Hashem, blessed with a table for two, my wife and our empty nesters, and we are the only ones in the house, so when I finish my Shmoneh Esrei Belachash on Friday night, I say Ve'echulu by myself, and I do not say it with her. That's what I'm doing. A person wants to say it with his wife. There's nothing wrong with it, but I don't think it's required. Thank you very much.
Thank you, Rebbe. We hope, as Rebbe Hashem, we can call upon Rebbe again in the near future. Thank you.
Bye-bye.
Good night, everyone. Take care. Bye-bye.